PhD degree all online. Study at your own pace. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info for the staff to reach out to you. Also, Conservative Theological University is offering free your first introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking a very pertinent, important, imperative question. Are we all sons of God? How do we become sons of God? Many people get hung up on Genesis 6, 1 through 4. And say that the sons of God are fallen angels that cohabitated with earthly women, produced grotesque, monstrous beings that referred to as the Nephilim, the giants in the land. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at Genesis 1 through 4, sons of God are here, descendants, if you will, of the godly line Seth, and does not imply any way, shape, form, or fashion that some fallen angels have relationship with women and produce half-breed, huge giants. In fact, we can go to Job 38, 4 through 7, and says, when the morning stars sung together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You have in that text the sons of God, spoken of their angelic beings around the throne of God, and they're sons of God by creation. And so people would say today, well, we're all sons of God. Yeah, we're all created by God, but we're not his sons. We'll talk about that in a moment. I believe Brother Harper's on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood, and good afternoon. Blessed afternoon, gentlemen, for this program. You're exactly right. That's been on my mind for a long time, and it's hard to make people understand that, but God is so precise in what he has done and what he's doing till there is no mistake whatsoever, even in the text that we find in our Bible, where it is located, the verse that it is considering, and whatever the subject may be. I'll go back to Dr. Phillips a while ago. He referred to John chapter 8 and verse 32. John is the fourth book in the New Testament. Verse 31 and 32 has to do with what we're talking about today. 4 is associated with creation and the natural man. 31 has to deal with an offspring, and 32 deals with a promise. Look at those verses again and see how wrong God may be in that.
He is not at all. He is perfect in his statements and what we find in the Scripture. In fact, Brother Harper, we find in the text in John 1:12 in particular, it tells us very plainly, for every individual, any individual, each and every individual that says yes to Jesus Christ, we then become the sons of God.
And verse 31 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him.
Yes.
Yes. Ye have continued in my word there. Ye are my disciples indeed. That's an offspring. Mm-hmm. That's because we believe in Jesus Christ and the blood he shed for us.
Absolutely.
Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That is a promise that he has given us.
Absolutely, and we need to depend on that promise because he doesn't change his mind.
He doesn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and forever, and forever.
Absolutely. Yes, it is. Thank you so much for your input. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Brother Kevin is on the line. Kevin, go over to the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. In the Garden of Eve, when Eve took a bite of the apple, she did more than take a bite of the apple. She had sex with Satan, and Satan produced a child of Cain. And Adam had sex with Eve and produced Abel. And we know that Cain slew Abel. And 1 John 3:11 says, and Cain was of that seed of the wicked one who slew his brother.
Let me interrupt just a moment. I don't know who you're reading behind, but there's no indication, no connotation at all in any word study that you do in the Hebrew or the Greek text will have any pointing to the fact that Eve had sex with Satan. That's simply false teaching, brother. I don't know where you read that, but it is incorrect totally. Dr. Phelps, do you have any statement on that?
Yes, in the scriptures we find, again, I would like to remind you that Jesus pointed out to the unbelieving Pharisees and leaders in his day that the angels are not involved in marriage.
That's right.
They do not have a physical union with human beings. They cannot. They do not. And Jesus said that to them, you err. That's just a short word, means they were in error. They were misinterpreting. They did not know the scriptures, nor the power of God. Because he says the angels do not enter into marriage. He says, for in the resurrection, the angels do not marry, nor are given in marriage. That's very plain. In Matthew 22, verse 29 and 30. Therefore, what people think regarding the of angelic beings with people,
just for comment. Kevin, one of the things that we need to understand is Satan, in his fall, he was Lucifer, the bright and morning star. He fell because of his taking the position that he's going to have authority over God and challenge God. He was kicked out of heaven. He was an angelic being that is now a fallen angel, and all of his followers, the one-third that fell, the one-third of the angelic host that fell with him, those are the ones that's called demons in the world today, as you stated the text, understanding that. But there's no way, it's an impossibility. The Bible doesn't have any connotation of pointing to that, referencing to that, any potentiality of that. In fact, it is, again, I don't know who you're reading behind, don't know what pulpit you've listened to, but you cannot validate any of that in the Scripture. We need to take the Scripture in context, analyze what it says and what it does not say, and look at it from a standpoint that God doesn't have one standard today and another standard tomorrow. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and there's no connotation of that at all. Dr. Davis, you have a comment on that?
Well, here's the danger of all of that, Dr. Youngblood. I went to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 21 when the Apostle Paul confronted the people in Athens. Verse 21 said, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but to tell or to hear some new thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the danger in these kind of things happening. This kind of idea can be transmitted over to people who are unlearned.
Unlearned.
Uneducated.
In the scripture.
And have not been taught the truth from the scriptures.
That's right.
The same idea that you drive home, once again, what I said earlier, every day, why there is a need for theological and doctrinal teaching.
Absolutely.
So that you don't stray off in these areas, and then you communicate that over to somebody else, especially a baby Christian that's not learned in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have them going down the wrong road.
This is the
so
reason.
This should not be.
This is the reason you find in the Timothy text, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word
Amen.
Of truth.
Amen.
That is cutting it straight with what it says, no additive, no admixture, no modification, but simply what does the word of God say. I'm thankful for your call today, Brother Kevin. God bless you as we keep looking up. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, Romans 8:14 clearly teaches that all of those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. So number one, we become sons of God when we say yes to Jesus Christ, John chapter 1, verse 12. And then those that are led by the Spirit, evidence, if you will, of being sons of God. I believe we have Brother Blake on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Wow. Such a prescient comment today. So, Dr. Youngblood, this is the first time I've been able to call in all week, and I just wanted to give a report of what's happened over the week, particularly with the city council, if it's a proper thing to do in this show.
If we can take it briefly a moment, that'd be good. Go ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, we're talking about truth here. That's exactly what you've been talking about. And what we saw at city council on Tuesday night was we saw a certain group of people trying to tell us that lies were truth. And that was in the ordinance that Jacoby Pittman put up to give attaboys to our biased media. Even when confronted with the facts that they're biased, they refuse to accept the truth. So I just want to thank everybody who's listening to the radio show and who follows along with the work that we do. We crushed that ordinance 6-12, and I'm just so thankful for that. Interestingly, I don't see anything anywhere in the press about the fact that ordinance was turned away. So it's convicting of them, and they are guilty of not even sharing the fact that city council sees them for who they are. So hopefully, at some point in time, we'll be able to talk about the book challenge process. But thank you for your time, sir. God bless you for the work you do.
Thank you for that report, and God bless you for what you're doing, Brother Blake. God bless you. Dr. Davis, if we say, if we refute, and we do, full refutation of what has been said by some and some in the pulpits of what Genesis 6 purportedly says, it is not so at all. We're talking about the godly line and the ungodly line, Seth line, which is the Sethites line, the godly line, and the Cain line, which is the ungodly. And the scripture very clearly just says these godly people saw ungodly women that were beautiful and said, I want to marry them. No place in the scripture does have a linkage that they produced offspring that were giants in the land. That is simply not true at all. There's another little thing that comes to mind that I must touch on, and it's not part of what I had in mind for today. But when you look at that chapter 6, and it says in the third verse, and the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man for God, because he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There are a lot of people that misunderstand that text, Dr. Phelps. They say that God has told us we're going to live 120 years. Is that what that text says?
No. We believe that that talks about the time, a Genesis time, not today's time, not measurement of time today, nor in my life or yours. God had in mind to bring a flood upon the earth,
mm-hmm.
and within about that length of time,
it took Moses that long to build the ark. Is the bottom line, right?
He had to allow time for him to build that ark.
That's right. Took a lot of pine trees.
If you want to talk about longevity, you look in Psalm chapter 90, God said that man would possibly live 70 to 80 years.
That's right.
That's a generation, by the way. That's the lifespan of a generation. And that might be helpful to you if you need to try to figure out some dates and times there, if you are inclined that way. But no, he's not talking about how long these people in Genesis 6 would live. They lived, for example, Abraham lived over 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was many years later. No, he's not talking about the longevity of the lifespan.
Absolutely, it is not. And yet, a lot of people are going back. It goes back to not studying the Scripture, knowing what the Word of God says. Dr. Davis, look up for us and read Luke 3:38. Luke chapter 3, verse 38. I think this will be the linchpin that will tie some things together for our listeners to understand. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Your call will go directly through the studios right to our microphone so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on this issue. Are we all sons of God? Dr. Davis, read that Luke 3:38.
Okay, verse 38 says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God.
All right, so Dr. Davis, Dr. Phelps, join together. Tell our listeners what that is saying and what it is not saying.
One of the comments I would like to make is that when Adam was created, the Bible tells us, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. God created Adam, but it doesn't doesn't mean that he is made a son of God as we as Christians talk about that. You see, there is what we call a natural birth, and that's makes us a part of the family of God, the human family. But when we're born again, when we experience the spiritual birth, we become part of the family of God. So the sons of God are actually a people of faith, mm-hmm. as we would think of it today. You read 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 and following. It begins with the words, beloved, now are we the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the people of faith. Believers then are those who are the sons of God today. Believing Christians are the children of God. Galatians 3:26 tells us that we're the children of God by faith. And so when Adam was created, he became a son of God by way of creation.
By creation. And we become a son of God by salvation.
Yes.
Dr. Davis, when we think about this, let's go back for a moment and tie up some loose ends, because I'm sure we have some listeners that are asking the question. And many of them go back and they've heard some of these national preachers that otherwise are good preachers. I'll not call their names. Do not want to sound as though I'm demeaning them. But many of them will go back to the text. If you would, look it up. 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. 2 Peter 2, 4. And let's talk about that, because that's a linchpin for what is taught today by many of those that talk about the fact that this is talking about fallen angels in chapter 6 in Genesis. Read that text for us, please.
It said here, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment.
All right. Let's look at that. God spared not the angels, angelos, messengers, talking about the ones in heaven, the angels, which, by the way, are innumerable. There's not an angel that's died. Every angel that God ever created still exists today. Some are bound. Some have fallen because of rebellion in heaven. A third of the heavenly host followed Lucifer, one of the archangels. And here in this text, though, where the Scripture is so clear, God spared not the angels that sinned. That word sin, they're talking about those that followed Lucifer in rebellion. Those that followed Lucifer in rebellion, but cast them down to hell. Now, one of the things that many good preachers say, that's proof positive, that there's a nexus there, that these angels that's spoken of in 2 Peter are the angels that sinned, disobeyed God, and they had fallen, had sexual relationships with human women, and produced grotesque, monstrous, half-breed beast in the world that day. That is not true at all. Explain that, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis.
Well, I mean, simply, I mean, here, I'm receiving this, you know, right here, because this doesn't say that at all.
That's right.
It is speaking to the fact, and if you go to the book of Ezekiel, I think it'll tell you, you know, about when Lucifer tried to elevate himself above God and how he was cast down.
The five I wills, I will be as God.
Amen. So now Peter is just putting it all in one nutshell, because he said, if God spared them not, but cast them down to hell and reserve them unto judgment, that doesn't speak to Genesis chapter 6 about the union, the so-called union between the sons of God and then the women who actually existed during that time. So again, this is how so many make themselves rocket scientists in the sight of other people, because they think that they have discovered something from the scripture that nobody else has, and now they have an answer to the mystery, and so that makes them look higher in the sight of other people than others. That's not so. That's not what we're trying to accomplish today. We're simply trying to get the truth of the knowledge of scripture out there so that we can refute these areas and help some people recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, because that's exactly what it is.
Absolutely. So with that being said, Dr. Phelps, how do we become sons of God?
Well, the Bible is very clear in John chapter 1, verse 12, for example, as many as received him, that means Christ, and I'll put it in my own words, as many people receive Christ as Savior, God gives them the power or the right or the authority to become the sons of God.
Amen.
Many people have the mistaken idea that the gift of eternal life is like giving an object or a thing, just like we give Christmas gifts at birthdays. We give and receive things that can be purchased at Walmart. However, we know from inspiration of the scriptures, from the truth of the Word of God, God's revealed truth, that the gift of God is not a thing or object such as a gift or a watch or a ring or other valuable jewels. Rather, the gift of eternal life is the very life of Christ himself. When we receive Christ, he abides in us. He takes up residence within us. God imparts the gift of eternal life to anyone who trusts in Christ as for salvation. As we know from other portions of the scripture, like the book of Titus, God's work of regeneration or salvation begins with the transformation of being born again. You see, we are dead spiritually. We're dead in sins. But we're made alive in Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 2. Christ dwells in us, and we dwell in him. Eternal life is not what we deserve. It's the gift of God that we receive by God's grace through believing in Christ. See, God's salvation, it was purposed by God through Christ. It's the plan of God through Christ. It's the work of God through his Son. It's the gift of God through his beloved Son. And so when you receive God's Son, it's very clear, very plain. We become the sons of God, sons and daughters of God by faith.
We're born into the family. In fact, I have taught that so many times down through the years. It is what I'm talking about, how to be a part of the family of God. It is the way that we become a part of his family is by saying yes to Jesus Christ, his Son, and then we become the huios, the sons of God, as the scripture calls it in John chapter 1 and in verse 12. And then if there's the access to the family of God, that access is not by water. It's not by getting baptized. That access to the family of God is not by doing good works, not of works lest any should boast. That access to the family of God is by faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Elaborate on that, Dr. Davis.
Well, when you consider the book of 1 Peter, and this is chapter 1 and verse 23, Peter gave an explanation there for the people who have committed themselves to God. He said, verse 23, being born again, mm-hmm. not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So he's telling, in that particular setting, he's commending those people who have given themselves over to Christ Jesus and let them know the way that you did this was by being born again.
Absolutely.
Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And if you go over into the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse number 15, this is what the Apostle Paul had to say. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, mm-hmm. whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Abba, Father.
Amen. So it takes the Holy Spirit, you being filled with the Holy Spirit, in order for God to even claim you to be a part of his family. Because if you go back up to verse number 9 in the same chapter, Romans 8 and 9, last part of that verse says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you're not even connected to the family of God, except you are filled with his Spirit.
Absolutely. Let's tie up another loose end before we close today. Many of these preachers, they talk about the fallen angels in Genesis as being the sons of God. They will use an aberrant text. It is what is called a pseudepigraphal writing. Pseudepigraphal writing. That means a false mythology writing. Dr. Phelps, speak to that, because they go to the book of Enoch. Is the book of Enoch part of our Bible?
No, because it's not inspired of God. Mm-hmm. There's another book. It's called the Urantia book. Mm-hmm. And they rant and go on about a lot of things that is not true, that Jesus went out of the country, out of Israel, into foreign lands and all that. All of that is just fairy tales.
Fairy tales.
And so this kind of literature that's found around the world and elevated to a place like the scriptures is something you need to avoid.
Avoid.
Do not hear this. It's not inspired. The Bible tells us that we need a Savior, mm-hmm. in order to become a part of the family of God.
Yeah.
We need a transformation. And you can receive the Lord Jesus into your heart and become a child of God, a son of God today. Pray like this. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins on the cross. I now trust you as my personal Savior.
Amen. I'm thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've prayed that prayer, I'm thankful that you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Now you become one of the sons of God. Thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester.